And we're here live on Blog Talk Radio for GSU Panther Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Wednesday. I know I am. The rain seems to have finally moved out. Of course, today we are presented by Impact Media, and we have a very special guest, which I'm going to bring on right now. He is the voice of the GSU Panthers in basketball, football, baseball, and, I mean, practically you're the face of the university as well, I believe. So I want to bring on right now my very good friend, Dave Cohen. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing pretty good, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on. And just back in Atlanta after a tough loss down at Hanner Fieldhouse in Statesboro last night. Lost to Georgia Southern down there, as I'm sure you know, 54-52. In a close game I felt we needed to have. But now the pressure's on to come back and play well against Appalachian State now with just three games to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely been a different season from last year, and maybe it's because last year's basketball team kind of come from out of nowhere to a lot of people. Now, we knew about them, but a lot of people didn't see some of those big moments happen, so it's kind of hard to hide after last season.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia State basketball was on the radar to some extent because of, obviously, R.J. Hunter being the coach's son and, you know, all the success that he had his first two seasons. Some of it team-oriented, some of it, you know, individual success. But, you know, of course, Ryan Harrell being in the program as well also brought a little bit more attention because now you're talking about one of the top 50 recruits the year he came out of Walton High School. And, you know, you got a kid that started out at NC State and then at Kentucky and winds up at Georgia State. So between RJ and you know, RJ Hunter and Ryan Harrell, you know, and then bring in Kevin Ware, you know, after his transfer in from Louisville, there was national attention on the program. But again, until we actually beat Georgia Southern in New Orleans and got the NCAA bid, you know, it didn't really explode until we did that and then finally got into the NCAA tournament. And, of course, you know the rest of that story.
Yep, we definitely do. And, you know, we definitely wish them the best on – you said there's three games left, correct?
Yeah, we got Appalachian State on Saturday at the Sports Arena. It'll be senior day. And then the final two games on the road at Louisiana Lafayette and Louisiana Monroe.
And those two teams always play us tough anyway. But Appalachian State could be the deciding point of the season as far as where this team goes.
Well, no question. That's why the game last night was so important because we began the night last night going into the Georgia Southern game in a three-way tie with two others for sixth place in the Sun Belt Conference standings. Georgia Southern was alone in fifth place, and since we were the only game last night, by losing that game, it dropped us down to eighth, and then the other two ended up, you know, now tied for sixth. So very, very, you know, right now we're basically in that last spot. Only eight teams are going to advance to New Orleans to take on, you know, to participate in the Sun Belt Conference tournament. And so we've got to make sure that we're either eight or one of those numbers above, eight, seven, or six. But the pressure's on right now, no question about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's beyond crunch time. But I have faith in the guys. And I think they've done well because they did lose a good, you know, they lost a lot of good talent in the offseason with RJ and the rest leaving the team. I think they were able to keep, you know, the rest of the core together, and Coach Hunter's done a good job with these guys.
Well, he has. It's been a difficult season. I mean, everywhere the Panthers go, home or road, they've got a huge target on their back because they've won the league now the last 2 years. And when you sit atop the hill, you know, everybody else is trying to knock you down. And they did lose a lot from last year's ball club. And, of course, 40 points of it on most nights was R.J. Hunter and Ryan Harrell. But, you know, don't forget about Kurt Washington. You know, Curtis, I thought, was an integral part of that team last year. He was, a 6'9 presence in the paint who did not have to score 15 or 20 points a game. He pretty much had to do what he did, which was, you know, average 5 to 6 points and, you know, 5 to 6 rebounds on most nights. And then you take away a little bit of the glue in Ryan Green. I don't think a lot of people realize how much of a glue person Ryan Green was with that group. And so, you know, you lost four starters off a team that beat Baylor in the NCAA tournament and won 25 games and had really won 50 games in the last two seasons coming into this year. And that's a lot to lose when you're at the mid-major level. I mean, I think I've said this Well, I've only said it a couple of times because it's only happened a couple of times at Georgia State. But when you lose, well, it's never happened where we lose a player to, you know, leaving early after his junior season to be a first-round NBA draft pick. But at the mid-major level, when you lose the talent level of an RJ, of a Ryan Harrow who's playing pretty well over in Greece, and then four starters overall, it's awfully hard, you know, to keep at the pace that they've been the last 2 years heading into this season. You know, there was a lot of hope for this year as well with Jeremy Hollowell coming in from Indiana University after sitting out, Kevin Ware returning, so on and so forth, Isaiah Williams coming in. But, you know, I think the rest of the league has gotten better as well, and we lost some pretty good players. So I'm not really – I figured we'd be in the top four, to be honest with you. It hasn't worked out that way. Although if you look at some of the games that we've lost here in recent weeks, last night losing by two, losing at Troy by a point, losing at South Alabama by a point in overtime in a game that never should have gone to overtime, losing at Arkansas State earlier this year when all we needed was a free throw to basically win the game. That game goes to overtime. Georgia State comes up short. There's been a lot of close games, four or five that I can think of offhand, that would totally change our situation in the Sun Belt standing if the game had gone into the win column instead of the close loss column.
Absolutely, and we all know how a close game can decide a season very quickly.
No question. You know, the game last night was could have gone either way. I mean, you know, you go back and you look at a few key shots, the missed free throws down the stretch, the three at the buzzer to end the first half by Mike Hughes. Say that one clanks off the back iron and doesn't go in. Then they're only up by three at halftime, and who knows how it goes in the second half. But those are the things that can keep you up at night if you're a head coach or an assistant coach or the radio guy. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, now all they can do is control their own destiny and take care of Appalachian State on Saturday to, you know, continue their foothold into holding on to one of the top eight spots to go to the Sun Belt Tournament.
Yep, absolutely. And all our listeners that didn't know, as we said, the final home game is Saturday night at the arena down there. Make sure if you're in town or if you're anywhere near there, drop by, support the guys, and show them you're still behind them.
No question. Senior Day comes around only but once a year, and so it's coming up Saturday against Appalachian State. And again, it's a game of the utmost importance, and I only say that because Louisiana Lafayette and Louisiana Monroe, we've played them once each already in Atlanta. We beat Louisiana Monroe. We lost badly to Louisiana Lafayette. Quietly, the team that's kind of vaulted into second place in the conference is the Warhawks of Louisiana Monroe. So we've got to play them on the road, and then you got to turn around and play the Raging Cajuns of Lafayette in the Cajun Dome, and that's one of the tougher arenas to play in the league. So Saturday's game is important because after that, those last two are on the road against the second and third place teams in the conference standings.
Yep, absolutely. And obviously, regardless, us and many others are proud of, no matter how the season ends up, we definitely would rather them win and continue the success they had. But, you know, real quickly, I don't think I've talked to you since possibly the bowl game or so in football. So, you know, real quickly, if you could summarize the season or, you know, what was your overall take of the season for the Panthers football this year?
Well, I'll start by summarizing, saying what a great, what is it, 6 or 7 month run that the program overall has had from men's basketball, which we've just been talking about, going 25-10, beating Georgia Southern in the final regular season game at the Sports Arena in front of a sold-out crowd to win the Sun Belt regular season, and then a week later heading down to New Orleans to Lakefront Arena, beating Louisiana Lafayette in the semis to erase that ghost of the prior year, and then winning an ugly game 38-36 over Georgia Southern to get the NCAA tournament bid. They go down to Jacksonville. They beat Baylor. Again, you know the rest of that story. Came up short against Xavier, but a great season. R.J. Hunter, first-round draft pick, the Boston Celtics, first time that we've ever had that happen. And he's obviously playing in the NBA right now with Boston. And then football starts out 2-6. There were some games in there, obviously, that, you know, Panther faithful felt should have been won. Charlotte at home in the opener was one, and the home game against Louisiana Lafayette was the other game. So, you know, sitting at 2-6, but they go out to they go up to Muncie, Indiana, and something happens, a light bulb goes off, and they win that ball game 31-19. Lost at Arkansas State, but then to win the final four games, backs against the wall, to go down to Georgia Southern and beat them in the manner in which Georgia State beat them. That to me was one of the most incredible Georgia State sporting events that I've had the pleasure to be a part of. One of the two greatest wins or two greatest events in Georgia in the very short history of Georgia State football. The first one obviously was the inaugural game on September the 2nd of 2010 when they beat Shorter at the Georgia Dome in front of almost 32,000. But the Georgia Southern win in Statesboro to clinch and get that sixth win and to clinch a bowl bid was just incredible. Incredible job not only by the players. I know Nick Arbuckle obviously gets a lot of the credit, as he should, but it was really a total team effort from everybody, on both sides of the ball, offensive line, defensive line, receivers, great linebacking core, the corners. I mean, just everybody really stepped up to the plate, to throw in a baseball term, into a football conversation and made big plays. And then heading down to Orlando in just the third season of being an FBS program and participating in that great bowl down there. Those folks down there that put that Cure Bowl on did a fantastic job.
Weren't they great?
What's that?
I said, weren't they great? They just, I mean, the hospitality alone, let alone the actual game they helped put on and everything. Those guys in Orlando and with the Cure Bowl, they really know what they're doing, and it was something else.
It was a fantastic experience for everybody. I mean, that there are three bowl games every postseason down in Orlando, but that was the first one for the folks that were running the AutoNation Cure Bowl. So they've been able to watch the other two bowls in Orlando and kind of follow the trail that they have left for them on how to put a bowl game together. But they just did an outstanding job down there from the minute we arrived to the time the plane took off from Orlando to head back to Atlanta. And I'm so happy, just personally and selfishly, happy for guys like Joe Peterson, who's been in the program all four seasons and had endured a lot of losses, and some ugly losses at that. And for a guy like Nick Arbuckle, who, you know, had the stats to back up the fact that he was a great quarterback for Georgia State, but didn't necessarily have the hardware until this year. So I was happy for, you know, those two in particular, as well as all of the seniors, and really all of the guys that have been in the program that have been working their tails off, to get this thing turned around. And, you know, then for Coach Miles and his staff, I mean, they're the ones that are out that practice facility day in and day out, night in and night out, after a lot of losses the last couple of years, trying to, you know, turn this thing around. And for the way they finished the season, to be a part of the first AutoNation Cure Bowl down in Orlando, it was just fantastic all around. The only thing, Jeremy, that could have made it better was that they beat San Jose State. But that didn't happen. San Jose State's two best players stepped up and made big plays, and we lost a close ball game. But overall, it was just a fantastic experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was the only thing that I believe could have made it better. But, I mean, overall, like I told people, when they were 2-6, at least the faithful stayed behind them. I know we stayed behind them. Never say never in sports. And for them to rattle off those four wins, some of them were getting pretty interesting there towards the end, but they were able to make that bowl game. And like you said, it speaks volumes to not only the effort and the team effort of these guys, led by, Taris Batiste and Joe Pete and Nick and all those, but that Coach Miles could do this in 3 years.
Right. Really in the course of one season turn it around because,
right.
I mean, they could have very well been 8-4 this year, like I said, you know, if they pull it off against Louisiana Lafayette and don't make those late mistakes, and if they, you know, beat Charlotte probably like they should have in the opening game of the regular season. You know, now instead of being 6-7, you know, you've got 8 wins on the season. And so what are you, 8-5, you know, including
yeah.
the bowl game. But, you know, that's a woulda, coulda, shoulda. It didn't work out that way. Everything happens for a reason. And to be honest with you, just me speaking selfishly, I'll trade the losses to Lafayette and Charlotte for the whooping that they put on Georgia Southern down at Statesboro any day of the week.
Oh man, it's I've been a part. I've been on either side of particular contests like that, and so I knew the emotions of both. But to have the season come down to that moment where they needed the win to go to the first bowl game, and the crowd situation, which I've gotten into before, it was great to look up and see that their fans, since their fans had cleared out, our fans were able to get down just as close as they could on those on the bottom section there, and it was so emotional down there to see the kids be able to, you know, just have that moment, because they deserved the moment. They fought hard for it all year long.
Oh, yeah. Again, one of the top, I mean, in my mind, you know, one of the top four or five, you know, Georgia State athletic experiences that I've had the pleasure to be a part of, whether it's the 1990-91 Bob Reinhart-led team down at the Trans-America Athletic Conference Tournament in DeLand, which in and of itself was a great story, because just going into the Panther history books, that, you know, that weekend in the TAC tournament, they beat three teams they were 0-6 against during the regular season. And then they had to beat Little Rock in the championship, a team they were 0-16 against all time. So it was a magical weekend, like the trip down to Statesboro this year was a magical trip to Statesboro when you sit back and look at what the accomplishment was. You know, it ranks right up there with 1991. It ranks up there with Lefty Drizel leading Georgia State to a 29-5 season and a win over Wisconsin out in Boise, Idaho in the NCAA tournament with Ron Hunter and everything that he and RJ and Ryan Harrell and the rest of them accomplished in winning 50 games in two seasons and beating Baylor in the NCAA tournament. A magical weekend for baseball in 2009 at the Colonial Athletic Association baseball tournament, winning four games in 4 days, including beating host UNC Wilmington and getting the program's first and still only NCAA baseball regional berth. You know, the win at Georgia Southern in the bowl game, obviously more recent, but they rank right up there with obviously the great moments in Georgia State athletics history.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And since you mentioned baseball, and that's the focus of our show today, without further ado, we will we all have the smell of the grass, and there's nothing that beats that smell of the grass this time of year out there on the diamond. And you were actually able to call the Friday game, the opening game against Western Michigan, which happens to be the only win of the year so far, as they are 1-2 after losing to VCU and Purdue over the weekend. Obviously, we talked earlier that yesterday's game was postponed due to rain. I mean, imagine that, rain down here in this area. But either way, what did you see Friday against Western Michigan? What can we look forward to out of this team?
Well, you know, it's still, I think, a little early to say exactly how things will stack up. This team was 30-27 last year, 15-13 in the Sun Belt, advancing to the Sun Belt Conference Tournament, where they, last year, if you remember, the first team they eliminated was Georgia Southern, right, before we ended up getting eliminated. But, you know, there's a little bit of a core group that is back. Joey Roach, catcher behind the plate, last year, 7 home runs, 39 RBIs. Justin Jones, who had a fantastic freshman season at shortstop. He was a member of the freshman All-American team. Hit .297 last year, and then a bat and a glove that they missed down the stretch when he broke his hand about two-thirds of the way through the season, and that's the center fielder Ryan Blant. Last year, hit .330, hit 6 home runs and drove in 22 in 44 games, but, you know, missed the last part of the season and obviously wasn't able to play in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. So they've got that coming back. The reason why I'm just being cautiously optimistic, because there's some key losses there. You know, you lose Matt Rose to the draft and the Chicago Cubs. That's a huge bat, obviously, out of the lineup, and that was your starting first baseman there. Caden Bailey had been solid in the infield basically all 4 years he'd been at Georgia State. David Levy, down the stretch, solid at second base, even swung, you know, a pretty good bat. And then you lose two of your weekend starters. Nathan Bates, who was on the broadcast with us on Friday night, he threw out the ceremonial first pitch. He's getting ready to head out to spring training in Tempe, Arizona with the Los Angeles Angels. And then you lose Kenny Anderson, your Sunday starter. So two weekend starters are gone, and Cole Uvula now is back as the Friday night starter. And you got a couple of new arms now in the in the rotation for your Saturday and Sunday guys. And, you know, they're right now, you'd have to say that they're unproven. They've gotten, you know, a little bit of work, but Devin Vayner, who's a lefty, and Bryce Conley, a couple of new guys. Marc-Andre Habeck is back, along with newcomer Brian White, who transferred in from UNC Greensboro. They're going to be your, you know, get a lot of the work during the midweek. But, you know, still, you know, there's still some question marks as we're very early in the season. They did get rained out or postponed at South Carolina Upstate yesterday. But they got Coppin State coming in for a four-game series this weekend. I'll be out there on Friday and more than likely on Sunday. So we'll get a chance to see him again. But, you know, I think a couple of the stats that have kind of jumped out early, and I, you could see this in the Friday night game because the starting pitcher for Western Michigan struck out 11 Panthers and struck out the first five that he's faced. But through three games against Virginia Commonwealth and Purdue on Saturday, Sunday, following the Western Michigan home opener and season opener, the Panthers have walked only twice. Only two batters have drawn base on balls, yet opposing pitchers have struck out 25. And
wow.
You could look at that right now as a little bit of a problem when you're talking about your offensive output, obviously.
Yeah, definitely so. And I tried to get as many of the players written down on the unofficial list because, yeah, early in the season, it's hard to say it's who's active and non-active, that kind of thing. And last week, we went over as many of them as possible. But, yeah, you talk about some of the losses, and already this year, they have two of the better bullpen guys in Will White, the lefty, and the righty, Logan Barnett, who's got that crazy delivery, but it's he's almost unhittable sometimes. Both of them have arm injuries. They're out the rest of the year. It's going to be interesting to see if some of these newcomers can kind of, you know, take the ball and run with it when they need to.
Yeah, and another guy to mention, too, is Wayne Wages. He's really the closer of this ball club. You remember last year, he had 26 appearances. He was 4-0, struck out 31, and had a 171 average against. I saw him on Friday night, and certainly, you know, he's a very important part of what Coach Frady and his staff are putting together out there at Panthersville. But, you know, again, some new faces. Will Kilgore, who's a sophomore out of Columbus, Georgia, Georgia perimeter kid, taking over at second base for David Levy. The guy, the newcomer that had the game-winning RBI was a kid by the name of Israel Zachary. We saw him just a tiny bit at shortstop in Friday night's game. But a player by the name of Andy Burnett, who's out of Union Grove High School down there near McDonough, he ended up getting the start at shortstop because Justin Jones is battling an injury. It looks like James Clements has taken over at third. He's a senior. Last year, he hit .225. But the guy that played the last few innings of that 12-inning Friday night game was another newcomer, Jared Hood. And he scored the winning run on the game-winning RBI by Zachary. So, you know, we got some new faces. And so far, from what I've seen, again, in just the one game and looking at stats, it looks promising. Again, it's great to have Blant back at center. Coach Frady has a stable of outfielders. Rhett Harper pretty much maybe holding down right field. See a couple of different guys over in left field. You know, obviously you want to be strong up the middle when Justin gets back and can take over at short with Kilgore now at second. And one of the other returning guys is over at first base, Jack Thompson, who's out of Milton High School in Alpharetta. So he knows, you know, he knows the lay of the land. So I'm cautiously optimistic, you know, that they're going to be a pretty good ball club this year, and we'll find out as we go along just how the Sun Belt stacks up.
Yep, definitely so. It's definitely super early, as they'll play right at 50 games before it's over with. So it's hard to say after the opening weekend, but, you know, at least they're putting runs on the board because there was a stretch last year where that was a little tough. A question that somebody asked me before, and it's actually one I was going to ask you anyway. When you're calling a game at the baseball park there, can you hear or does the mic pick up the nearby crowd, especially like people sitting in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the baseball now with the change in our radio deal involving WRAS, we you know, the goal was to always get about 20 to 25 baseball on the radio. You know, baseball at collegiate level is interesting. They're always scheduled to play about 56 games, but they start usually that second week in February. And for most of the country, everybody is still right in the midst of college basketball. College baseball kind of flies under the radar. But my goal was always to get about 20 to 25 games, you know, on the radio. In and that the radio deal has changed here a little bit. Most of our baseball is streaming audio only via the Georgia State website at georgiastatesports.com, as well as the Georgia State Athletics app. But you know, my setup is pretty much the same, using my radio equipment as well as a laptop in order to stream the broadcast. But I still hang the crowd mic out the front window there so we can pick up whatever crowd noise we can get. And it just depends upon who you're playing as to, you know, how much crowd noise you got out there. You've been out to Panthersville.
Yep.
It's not like we're drawing 500 a game. I mean, when Georgia comes in or Georgia Tech comes in or when Georgia Southern comes in, now that that's a conference series back and forth every year between Atlanta and Statesboro, we'll have good crowds out there. But, you know, I'm not sure what kind of crowd Coppin State will bring this weekend. And so there are times that it could be a little quiet. But I definitely like crowd noise, and I hang the mic out the window and try to pick up, you know, any crowd noise I can pick up, as well as some of the sound effects and the public address that has a speaker right outside my window there.
Well, in case a certain reporter happens to be sitting in front of you, I'll make sure that he keeps down some of his snarky remarks during games.
That's okay. I mean, that's what we call natural sound. If he's out there and we pick it up, that's what's going out over the, in this case, the streaming audio. I mean, we're going to have, I think, five or six games, on over-the-air radio this year, mostly the ones of local interest, like, you know, Kennesaw State, Georgia Tech, Mercer, so on and so forth. We're not playing Georgia this year, so, you know, that won't be obviously on the schedule. But it has been in the past and normally is on an annual basis. But I think for whatever reason, it's not this year.
Well, definitely so. And in case, which, I mean, that's part of baseball. The baseball to me is like hockey as far as there's a lot of chirping going on. And by chirping, I mean there's a lot of chatter. Everybody seems to always be talking or saying something at the same time. But in case everybody's favorite reporter does have a maybe slightly off-color comment that gets picked up, I'll tell you that this segment is being brought to you by Hallmark Bowman and Hallmark, attorneys at law in Powder Springs, because they are good buddies of mine, and who knows, I may need them one day.
Yeah, well, you know, anybody that wants to come on out, I mean, it's good baseball, and you know, sometimes it can be a hassle getting out to the ballpark at Panthersville, but, you know, once you get out there, it's a good atmosphere. I've got to give, you know, kudos to the grounds crew out there. They've done a fantastic job. There's been a number of different guys over the last couple of years, Gary Wilson being one of them, that's out there night in and night out. They've done a fantastic job, you know, with what they've done with that baseball facility. I mean, let's be honest, it's not up to par with some of the other college baseball parks that are even in the Sun Belt Conference or even here in the Metro Atlanta area with what you might see at a Mercer down in Macon or a Kennesaw State up in Kennesaw. But it looks as good as it's looked in all the years I've been going out there. And I know everybody's excited about, you know, down the line here, what the possibilities will bring when they move college baseball back down to Turner Field on the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium site. Still a few years away, but it's still fun to think about it. But in the meantime, the guys out there at Panthersville have done an outstanding job, you know, sprucing that place up as best they can, you know, here the last couple of years and for the near future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They do. I've been there for many games last year, and they do a by far jam-up job of, I mean, that place, it looks as professional as any other park I've been to.
And you got to thank alums Bill and Sue Reeves. They're huge Georgia State Athletics supporters. I mean, a lot of that is their financial contributions that, number one, built that new press box, or it's not new anymore, but built the press box that you see out there. They built the, you know, the new locker room facilities out there for baseball. I believe that they're responsible for the recent new lights that have gone up out there. I mean, they have been very, very generous in their support of the Georgia State baseball program, among the other programs that they support. But it's noticeable when you go out there to baseball. It says it right on the side of the door when you walk in. It's the Bill and Sue Reeves Fieldhouse there at Panthersville. So I know that, you know, a lot of folks are very grateful to them for their contributions, you know, to making Georgia State baseball what it is today, both on the field and facility-wise as well.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned earlier, the weekend series this weekend, of course, is four games. They have a doubleheader on Saturday where the DH will be used in both. 1 o'clock and 4:30 first pitches so far on that one. You'll be calling the Friday game against Coppin State. That's 4 p.m. first pitch, I believe, and Sunday is 1, right?
That's currently on the schedule right now. Obviously, we can't do the Saturday doubleheader because we'll be down at the sports arena with Georgia State basketball.
Right. And also coming up before our next show, I always try to get all the games in between shows. Tuesday, they have an away game at Georgia Tech. They'll be just slightly down the road in closer to downtown Atlanta, 4 p.m.
Yeah, that is a radio game. That'll be on 1340 The Fan 3.
I got to write that down as well because I was trying to remember it the other day and I totally forgot it.
Right, and then you got 3 against Minnesota. You bring a Big Ten team in here.
Yep.
I'll have a guy doing those games because I'll be on the road with basketball, and that's the Louisiana Lafayette, Louisiana Monroe trip.
Yep, always busy, always traveling everywhere. Dave, it's been great getting to catch up with you here. I'm glad we got to get in all three sports because a lot of our listeners always enjoy having your take on everything because you get the bird's eye view on practically every game.
Well, I appreciate that, Jeremy. Appreciate anybody that or everybody that, you know, tunes in to hear your updates. Your updates are very helpful as well, and you do a good job getting getting the guests on and kind of bringing Georgia State athletics to the folks that maybe can't be there for every game. But it's exciting, you know. Football is definitely on the uprise right now. Hopefully baseball will have a good season this year, carrying a little bit of momentum off the season a year ago, making that Sun Belt Conference tournament, winning a game in the conference tournament. Sun Belt's a very good baseball league, as you know. So, you know, this is a process here for Coach Frady to kind of ramp this thing up to be competitive at the upper echelon of the Sun Belt Conference. And then basketball, hopefully keep your fingers crossed. They play well Saturday against Appalachian State. And then it's on the road to Louisiana to try to bring this thing home and secure a spot in the Sun Belt tournament.
Yep, absolutely. Like I said, we all believe in all the teams, and we hope and pray they all do well. And definitely good luck to basketball in the last three regular season games, and look forward to maybe seeing them in another tournament a little bit later on.
Yep, that would be nice. Sun Belt tournament going to be in San Marcos, Texas this year, hosted by Texas State. So, first and foremost, got to play well during the regular season. Take as much momentum into the conference tournament as you can. Then you got to take a step back and make sure that you're one of the top six that makes the tournament. Top 8 go to basketball. Top 6 advance to the Sun Belt baseball tournament every year. So that's, you know, 6 out of pretty soon it'll be 6 out of 12. But right now 6 out of 11 to make sure that you're there to begin with.
Yep, absolutely. And like I said, definitely appreciate you calling in. I know you got more things to get to, and you're probably actually home tonight. You're not traveling today, correct?
I'm not at home yet, but I'm heading that way. But we just got back from Statesboro early this morning. Was back at work down at Georgia State today, and we'll just get ready for Friday night baseball, Saturday basketball.
Absolutely, and you always do a great job. And like I said, I think you are one of the faces of the university. Whether people recognize you or not, I don't know if you like them to or not, but definitely, at least when I think about Georgia State, I've always thought about you calling all the games. So it's good to have you back on, and we'll see you a little bit later on down the road, hopefully at the baseball diamond soon.
All right, appreciate it. Anytime. Again, just a reminder to listeners, radio network-wise, everything is 1340 AM, 1230 AM, and yes, 88.5 FM, WRES, is still carrying games. They don't carry every game, but all you have to do is check the listings on the website or in Doug Roberson's column at the AJC, and you'll be able to find out where we're on for that particular game.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll see you on later down the road, and thanks for being on.
Okay, Jeremy, I appreciate it. Anytime. We'll see you. We'll probably see you either Friday or Saturday at baseball or basketball.
We'll do our best.
All right, take it easy.
And, of course, as I said, that is the voice of your Georgia State Panthers, Mr. Dave Cohen. Just a super guy, absolute professional, and one of my favorite play callers for sure out of the booth. We told you about all the games coming up. Just going to remind you real quickly. Like I said, the team is 1-2 as they dropped the games to VCU, and Purdue was able to win the opener against Western Michigan. Tuesday's game against USC Upstate was, of course, rained out, as we said. Coming up this weekend, Coppin State's in town for four. You got one on Friday at 4 p.m. Saturday's doubleheader is 1 and 4:30. Weather looks pretty nice, so hopefully no delays in that. Sunday, 1 p.m., Dave said he'd be calling Friday and Sunday. Obviously, Saturday he'll be at the basketball forum, so definitely go check out basketball arena there. And Tuesday, the baseball team will be at Georgia Tech, 4 p.m. start. That's going to do it for me this week. So appreciate you guys tuning in to Panther Zone right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media for allowing us to come on each and every week and talk about our Georgia State Panthers. We'll see you guys next week. Go Panthers!